This is no doubt a significant stage in the process of cultivation. After enlightenment, you must ensure that wisdom is always available to look after your conduct and behavior. Wisdom must fill up the entirety of your mind and spirit so that any modicum of thought that may arise in your subconscious would not have the slightest chance of escaping your observation and contemplation. For hundreds of years, Chan Master Linji has been considered one of the most important figures of Chan, not only by the patriarchs, but also by the academia and literati alike. It is not surprising that Linji, as a Chan lineage, has managed to survive for over 1,000 years, as it has not always been close to the hearts of many. Some Japanese scholars have stated that two of the greatest Chan personages since the sixth patriarch are Zhao Zu and Linji. Despite being contemporaries, the two Chan masters had very different styles. Scholars have compared Zhao Zu to a granny who would typically look after the needs of every member in the family with meticulous care, the way of warmth and compassion that everyone around him would appreciate. Linji, on the other hand, is likened to an army general who would brave the battle, charging ahead without the least reservation, clearing indiscriminately all impediments along the way, be they from Buddha or Mara. The way of Linji is undoubtedly the manifestation of wisdom of the highest order. In their days, the two of them were the icons representing respectively compassion and wisdom, which characterize historical Chan. Their stories are amazing, and whoever is interested can look up their quotations to further understand their influence on Chinese Buddhism. The two Chan masters well represent the ultimate achievement of Chinese Buddhism in bringing Bodhi Dharma to the ordinary person in everyday living. When discussing Linji Chan, it is impossible not to mention the four methods to dispel attachments, which provide guidelines in aiding Chan followers with their practice. First initiated by Linji, these methods were later adopted by the Chan school. It was while giving a discourse one evening that Chan Master Linji referred to the various methods with respect to the subject, object, both or neither in meditative contemplation to suit practitioners of varying capacities. Chan Master Linji often spoke with vehemence and was very straightforward in pointing out mistakes or dishing out rebukes. Whatever attachments he saw in the practitioners would be abruptly snatched away for disposal. This was exactly what he wanted to teach his followers, who were mostly of normal temperament but with stubborn attachments that were difficult to expunge. For those strongly attached to the self, Lin Ji would snatch away the subject, the person in practice, leaving only the object of contemplation. Those with a stronger attachment to the object than the subject would have the object snatched. If attachment to both subject and object were equally strong, both would be snatched. And if there was no attachment to either subject or object, then neither would be snatched. This is a rough description of the four methods. It is revealed in the quotations of Lin Ji that these methods would also apply to suit practitioners of different capacities in the following manner. The below average would have the subject snatched. The above average would have the object snatched. The low capacity would have both subject and object snatched. The ones of high capacity would have neither subject nor object snatched. When asked by one of his top disciples, Keifu, to elaborate on these methods, Chan Master Lin Ji would use various poems and historical events as allegories to illustrate. Keifu once asked Master Lin Ji what is meant by snatching the person in contemplation and not the object of contemplation, whereupon the master replied with two poetic lines. The sun in spring happens to deck the land in glory. Toddler with hair draping white as silk. The warm sunlight of spring allows verdant plants to thrive, making the land a glorious sight. This refers to the object. A small child with long silky hair of white is something that defies logic. This refers to the person. In this case, therefore, the person is to be snatched, not the object. Those with a strong sense of attachment to the self must first of all have self-attachment removed from the introspective inquiry. Keifu continued to ask Master Lin Ji what was meant by snatching the object and not the person. The reply to this question came in two lines. The emperor's edict has been enacted across the kingdom. For the general at the borders, there'd be no more smoke and dust. Hence, the first line refers to the person and the second line to the object, implying that the object is snatched, but not the person. It was because of the enactment of edict by the emperor that the military general was able to stop fighting at the borders to enjoy some peaceful days. Snatching the object and not the person is aimed at those who are strongly attached to externalities. When Keifu asked about the snatching of both the person and the object, Master Lin Ji replied, "Trusting only Bing and Fen, I settle here all on my own." Bing and Fen were two locations in Shaanxi where during the Tang Dynasty a general called Wu Huangji was stationed. In time, Wu took the two places and established his own small kingdom there. After repeatedly rejecting the orders of the central government, Troops were sent to drive him out of Bing and Fen, but failed. Wu continued to stay there, defending his self-declared kingdom and in segregation from the rest of the country. Master Linji compared this to those who are severely attached to both the self and phenomena, a condition which would require the snatching of both the person and the object to guide them in cultivation. In reply to Keifu's inquiry on the meaning of snatching neither the person nor the object, Master Linji uttered the following: "As the king ascends the throne, country folks frolic and sing." This is description of an able ruler who was welcomed to be king. As he ascended the throne, the folks in the countryside were overjoyed as they worked in the fields. Such a prospect is representative of one who is not attached to both the self and external phenomena. And this method of not having to snatch either the person or the object is suitable for allowing the practitioner to freely unfold his or her own potential. It must be noted, however, that the four methods were only general guidelines employed by Linji as a skillful means to aid Chan followers in their practice. As such, they are by no means formulaic. To look upon them as an unyielding mode for strict adherence would render the methods lifeless. Nevertheless, the four methods are known to be most characteristic of the Linji way, and some would even consider them as the Linji tenet. As time went by, the Linji way actually became formalized. Besides the four methods, there are also the emerging of the three phrases, three mysticisms, four pairings of host and guest, and so on, which gradually made Linji turn into a rigid form of cultivation. It is not difficult to see why accomplished Chan practitioners of Linji gradually become few and far between, for it is not to be expected that the application of one format on practitioners of a wide range of capacities and characters would work well. In the sense that liveliness and sprightliness are symbolic of Chan, perhaps the four methods, as well as the other Linji methods, can really be regarded as spare furniture. In any case, what is significant of Linji is not its way or methods for cultivation, but rather its spirit behind the practice. In recollection of his days with Chan Master Huang Bo, which lasted over 20 years, Linji remembered how he was reprimanded and hit by his master. He said that although he was being hit with a stick, it actually felt more like being scratched with a blade of grass, all because he was receiving the hitting with gratitude. Every time he was hit, it seemed like he was relieved of an obstinate itch. The hitting seemed to have driven away his attachments. He was quite sure that he would not have subsequently accomplished so much and become who he was without that experience. He had come a long way to becoming the progenitor of the Linji sect of Chan, as his quotations reveal much destitution throughout his life. He relied on alms for his daily living, which is very much in consonance with his style. In guiding his followers, Linji aimed at sweeping away all their attachments to words, texts, and whatever views, be they Buddhas or Maras. He believed this is the only way to allow one's Buddha nature to manifest. This is probably the reason why we find in some quotations of Chan Master Linji severe or even abusive language, literally admonishing practitioners to kill the Buddha on encountering the Buddha, kill the Arhat on encountering an Arhat, or kill parents on encountering parents, etc. To go to such extreme as killing whoever you encounter in the process of cultivation is emphasis that there is no room at all for emotional and intellectual attachments in the practice. Emotional attachment is the source of life and death, hence must be swept clear out of the way until not even a trace is left. According to Linji, the objective of becoming a Buddhist practitioner is not to be deluded anymore. And the one who would never be deluded is the true person of no position. Chan Master Linji is one in a million in the history of the Chan school. His quotations are hailed as the king of quotations, and Japanese scholars regard the compendium of Linji quotations as one of the three most enigmatic texts in the world, well indicating his significance in the world of Chan.